All right, Adam, I got trouble on my mind. I'm worried about people's lack of understanding of Arabic numerals.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm more interested in pistachios than numerals, to be fair.
We talk more truth about pistachios than any other podcast
that I've ever heard before.
Right.
Pluto TV, everybody, leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 TV channels, thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto does not ask for a credit card. For God's sakes, they don't even ask you to sign up. To watch for free, you just download their app and kaboom. The first thing that pops up, well, first you'll see a channel. You'll see some live television usually. And then a scrolling menu will show up, much like you've seen on cable. Exactly. You've seen on cable or on satellite TV. So it's there on your phone or anywhere else you stream. It's easy. It's a completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows, hit movies, For free. It's one of the only ones that's set up that way. So you should not be waiting another minute. You should be doing it now because you'll never pay for play for TV again with Pluto TV. So download Pluto for all your favorite devices. Pluto TV today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, anywhere else you stream. Also check out that Chassis channel. See some of the Corolla productions on channel 501.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get on, get on, the church, get on,
yabba-dabba-doo.
What's going on there, Drewski?
We're just eating pistachios. With the mics heat up.
We love pistachios.
I think I told you this a few weeks ago, but I'm going to bring it up again just because it bothers me so much if I did not, which is this finding that 56% of Americans believe that Arabic numerals shouldn't be taught in public schools. Did you hear this piece of data?
No, I did not hear this piece of data. Oh, my God, it's unbelievable. I heard something about the metric system.
Okay. So remember, did you watch Veep at all?
No.
Well, the tall guy, Jonah.
I hear it's good.
Excellent. You love it. But Jonah develops a platform in running for president where he starts going, we should not treat these Arabic numerals. There it is up on the screen there. Arabic numerals should not be taught in public schools. They're Arabic. No Arabic numerals. So a very legitimate polling organization went out and tested what percentage of Americans believe that Arabic numerals –
what are Arabic numerals?
0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 numbers.
They're numbers.
They're numbers. They're called Arabic numerals.
Mm.
And because they're Arabic, over half of Americans in this poll, it was like a couple 100,000 people or something. It was a big poll, said that 56% should not teach Arabic numerals in public schools in the United States. And to me, that is one of the most disturbing pieces of data I've ever heard in my life. Those people are voting.
Well, wait a second. True.
Yeah.
I went out and went to a farmer's market and got women to sign a petition to stop women's suffrage.
Yep.
But they weren't against women voting. They didn't know what the question was.
I was wrong. It's 3,500 respondents, not 100,000. I thought it was a big, big study. I was wrong.
But isn't that just a lack of education?
Yes.
Like, I didn't know what Arabic numerals were either. I just knew there were numbers.
But the fact that we have a country where over half, for whatever reason, whether it's lack of education or no one ever taught them these things, these basic things, that's alarming to me.
Oh, you didn't grow up where I grew up. No one I knew would have known what an Arabic numeral was. We just called them numerals. I didn't know there were Arabic numerals.
That's crazy to me.
I don't know why. I didn't know. Look, I did like, are you smarter than a fifth grader? I didn't know what an integer was or prime integer was or
integer
was. I didn't know. We didn't talk about that. It never came up.
Yeah.
It was like 2 + 2 = 4 and 4 + 4 = 8. We didn't call them integers.
They probably did, but you just didn't. They didn't emphasize it or something.
No. Well, I never took algebra, but we never called it an integer. They just called it numbers. Never called an Arabic number, just a 2.
Yeah.
Why it never came up. I don't think a lot of people know what it is.
But that's as alarming to me as anything else. It just is.
I don't know. Why is it alarming?
Because it's such a fundamental. Gentlemen, Arabic numerals?
I agree with Adam that it's – I think this is –
You know what they were, didn't you?
I did, but
– Guess, Matt, you knew what they were? You
I was also aware.
Okay.
But I don't think most people do. I don't think – where was this – I'd like to know more about this study. Was this at a mall in Topeka?
Listen, Adam, that we know the school system failed Adam horribly, right?
Well, I don't file this under things I need to know.
I'm not saying it's a need to know thing. I'm saying it's such a basic thing.
I don't know. See, I think this is – there are songs I know and commercials I know, and there are people who have no idea what I'm talking about, and I cannot believe they've never heard of it, but it's because of where I come from and where they come from. And I had a girlfriend who's from Minnesota, and she was like, everyone knows what Utterbomb is. Everyone. I'm like, nobody knows. I'm from North Hollywood. Nobody knows. She's like, but please. And she's like – stopped a person like on the street, like, you know what Utterbomb is, right? And she's like, no. But it was such like a part of her world that she just couldn't believe that nobody knew what Utterbomb was.
Right.
And I guarantee that most of the doofuses I went to junior high with have no idea what this is or was.
But you were educated in a time when a system clearly was failing the students, clearly. Right.
I don't think most Los Angeles Clippers know what a Clipper is. That's where we're at. But I don't find that alarming because it doesn't really affect their game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I'd like people to add and subtract and do multiplication, but I don't need to know that they need to title it.
It's just such a like, to me.
But what is your outrage? Is your outrage that people are xenophobic, or is your outrage that people are dumb?
Both. It shows that the liability from the poor education has consequence, and the consequence is they act out xenophobia irrationally.
I also wonder if this particular institution isn't looking for results like this. In 2015,
I think they are.
In 2015, they did a similar poll where they asked if people were in favor of bombing. I think it's pronounced Bagrash, and 41% of people were. But Bagrash is a fictional city from the movie Aladdin.
Oh, what's our airbase? Bagara?
Let me look.
We got an airbase name that's something almost like that.
Yeah.
It's our own airbase. Either way, Drew, this is just stupid. You're being stupid.
All right.
I don't know what your point is. What is your point in this particular case?
It really is.
My point is that people are just sort of – we know people are dumb, right?
But Founding Fathers felt that in order for democracy to work
– Bagram Airfield is our base.
The voting public had to be educated to be able to manage their responsibility.
But see, this is – I don't know. Maybe I'm being overly defensive here. But my feeling on this one is this: there's a difference between people not knowing something and people having beliefs that are insane.
All right.
That's – for me, I don't – if somebody doesn't know of something – versus I have a really stupid thought that I'm going to act on.
Well,
that's my feeling.
I think things like flat earthers and those sorts of
I think that flat earthers are actually more in the group who would know what this would be.
Possibly.
I think they're people that manipulate words and knowledge.
But the point being is that there are liabilities to the lack of education we have right now. It's concerning to me. That's all.
Oh, yeah. But this
was just a sign.
Drew, you know what I think you're doing? I think you're biting on this. I think these people went out and said,
maybe,
we're going to go get this. This is the exact same thing we did with women's suffrage.
Right. It's true.
It's exactly the same thing.
That didn't bother you?
No. It was just I assumed X amount of people would be like, distracted or not, they'd sign like reflexively or not.
Right.
No, connected to the suffragettes or whatever it was. The reason we did it is because we knew X amount of percentage wouldn't know and would sign and would. And also, it's a contextual thing. They think you're trying to do something.
Right.
We say end women's suffrage.
Right.
But anyway, is it all numbers?
Essentially.
All numbers.
Maybe not infinity and things like that. But
0 through 9.
Zero through nine. That's not but, 10. But,
well, when you combine
well, you
them,
combine
exactly, it's everything
right.
else.
Yeah.
But I don't think they had a concept of infinity, and they were important for having brought zero in. And it was Leonardo of Pisa that brought them over.
Mm-hmm. I don't trust that dude.
You know him as the Arab dude? Fibonacci.
Yeah. People aren't educated. And I don't mind that. As long as they work hard and they don't have stupid beliefs. I think there's a difference between not knowing something and thinking you know something.
Yes. Which is also when you don't know much, that's easy to think you know something.
Well, that's true. But if you turn on the TV every night, there's a whole bunch of highly educated people that are talking a lot of nonsense
yep.
as well.
I agree with that.
And they have credentials.
Yep.
So now we have to listen to them. At least these people we know not to listen to.
Well, but everyone's got a voice now, right? So everyone gets listened to.
Or nobody gets listened to, well. Which I think is what's happening. All right, Drew, stop eating your nuts.
My pistachios.
Your pistachios. Right. When did pistachios stop being pink?
Ooh.
My grandmother loved pistachios.
I don't know.
And she'd have a huge bowl of bright pink pistachios.
They're green.
Or nothing.
Or nothing. You know, sort of brown.
They like spray painted them back in the day to be pink. And if you don't think it was ubiquitous.
Oh, they were pink.
But lest anyone think they were ubiquitous, it was chronicled in Naked Gun as a joke. George Kennedy was sitting in out on stakeout eating pink, and he had like lipstick on,
right?
Because of it, and so what I'm saying is here's how you know things were. They didn't set that joke up by somebody going, "Where'd you get those? They're pink." Who painted them? You know, they were just eating pistachios.
Yeah,
so you didn't need
synonymous.
You didn't need to set it up. It was just there. And of course, you'd never put a joke like that in a movie if everyone's like, what does it mean? Why is he eating that? Why are they pink?
Yeah.
Mine aren't pink. I've never seen pink ones. No, that's what they were.
And if you did it today, it'd be confusing.
Right. Go ahead, Gary.
Before the 1970s, pistachios were imported from Iran and other Middle Eastern countries. In addition to mottled markings on the pistachio shells from drying, these imported pistachios generally had a host of unappetizing stains and discolorations due to traditional harvesting methods in which the pistachios were not hulled and washed immediately after harvest. So Middle Eastern producers and exporters took to dyeing their product red. The few American pistachio producers at the time followed their imported counterparts and began to dye their products as well, if only because Americans were used to seeing these bright pink nuts. And it goes on to basically say that when the sanctions against Iran came around in the 80s, American pistachio growers surged, and they were able to, using their advanced methods, produce a product that didn't need to be dyed to cover up all the blemishes.
Isn't it interesting, though, how –
Let him finish.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Yes.
You done?
He is now.
Isn't it interesting, though, how when this country – this country is able to respond with productivity and production when other sources aren't available, which is sort of the current situation with China, isn't it?
Well, it's a thing where it's like, first, we couldn't make this product without a bunch of blemishes that were sort of unappetizing looking on the shells. We're looking at shells that are pristine now, but mm-hmm. I guess they couldn't do it. So they figure out a way to fix the problem, which isn't really a fixing of the problem. It's a masking of the problem, but it's still effective. They just make them all pink.
Yep.
Then the Americans join in because that's now become the standard for pistachios. And so they're forced to join in. But then at some point, technology and superior whatever takes hold, and we're able to eliminate the problem.
But we took an entire market and brought it over here.
Yeah. So what are we doing
pretty
with
quick,
the Chinese?
Like. Well, they're trying to bring some of the manufacturing back over here, essentially, that we've sent overseas.
I have this thought of almost all things, the sort of like doom and the gloom and the we can't, and nobody's going to, and how are we going to? I always have to just figure it. My thing is like we always fix that stuff. Like I don't have that.
Well, this is my thing
feeling.
About the.
I mean, look at energy. We have to import all this energy. We have to bring it all in, and we're getting all these people in there. Oh, the worst regions of the world, and we're just giving them sacks and sacks of money, and we're funding their wars and everything else. And then it's like, all right, now, or we start shale or fracking or whatever out of Canada, whatever, and boom, done. Now we import no oil.
We figure it out.
Figure it out in 10 minutes if we really just go, fuck it, we're going to figure it
here's
out.
Here's another thing that bothers me.
By the way, there's a version of this for the border. There's a version of this for education. There's a version of this for incarceration. There's a version of this for almost everything if we just go, fuck it, let's fix it, let's do it.
There's a version of this for climate change. And here's the thing. If you are strictly focused on eliminating fossil fuels, you're not interested in climate change. You're right. Not. Because if we stopped using fossil fuels throughout this country today and never used them again, that would not have a significant effect on climate change. So stop that. Start talking about technologies that will scrub the carbon. Remember we talked to Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Mm-hmm.
He said one day we'll be dialing in the temperature of the globe.
Mm-hmm.
By figuring out how much carbon we want in it, we'll dial that in and that'll be it. We'll scrub the rest out. And we have to be talking about nuclear energy. We have to be. Or you're not honest. You're not interested in climate change.
Well, of course. Let me tell you something. I've known this my whole life because I grew up with this. They are interested in telling you what to do.
Yeah.
And super importantly, what you can't do.
Uh-huh.
They're not interested in the problem solving of the problem. They're much more interested in, would you like to buy some carbon units from me? I will sell you them. It's about me telling you what to do.
Yeah.
You can say it's about power, and I guess that is the ultimate form of power, but it's weird in that I do not perceive – I perceive the right as more, you know, Donald Trump likes power. I don't think AOC likes power, but she likes to tell you what you can do and what you can't do, which in a way is a greater power than being in power.
Right.
This notion of like, I'm in power. All right, you're in power, but you don't get your way 3/4 of the time. So what, you know, I can go home and go, I'm the head of this household. Nobody listens to me. I just pay for everything.
But getting your way is an interesting way of expressing that. I want to get my way. You need to cooperate.
Yes. It's about, I'm going to explain to you what you can do and what you can't do. Here are the words you can use. Here's the words you can't use. Here's what you can drive and here's what you can't drive. Here's what you can plant or cut down or eliminate. Here's what you can do on your own land and what you can't do on your own land. Here is what I'm going to let you or permit you to do by creating more permits for everything. It is a control of, I am the Coastal Commission. I like the ocean. I like the environment, but I love telling you what to do and what you can't do.
It's such a weird,
and
such
I
a
need
weird
you
thing.
To come to me.
Do you have any of that?
Before you do something, I need you to come to me.
Yeah.
And I need you to ask permission. It's interesting.
I have zero interest in that kind of thing. Do you have any interest in being
I have
that
no
person?
Interest in that. I've had neighbors that are that way, where they go, what's going on? And you go, like, I'm cutting down a dead tree that's on the lot next to mine. How come I wasn't asked? You know, they want to know why they weren't consulted.
Oh, man.
It's an interesting thing when you run into the people that it's like, hello, Your Highness. People do things. They don't ask. You know that thing where people go, how come nobody asked me? You know, it's like, because it's none of your fucking business. Like, it's a crazy... It's one thing to say, like, I'm the block captain. I'm in charge of the block. Fine. But it's another weirder, deeper thing to go, nobody... I did not give my permission for you to do this thing on your land.
Nobody asked me is a weird impulse.
It's weird, but the force runs strong in many people. I've had many neighbors that have been that way. They've like... They're just standing on your lawn sort of explaining to you what works for them and what doesn't work for them. And you're like, what? Why are we having this conversation on my lawn? And you're telling me what you're doing. It's a kind of a narcissism, obviously.
But it's a weird expression of it.
It's kind of ubiquitous, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a strong – people have that. I mean, I've had many neighbors that have expressed those kinds of feelings.
It's almost like a bodily narcissism. Like their body extends into your property, and if you're violating their body if you do something on your property, right?
Well, what it is something is happening, and it doesn't involve you, and that means you may not exist.
Right.
Because something has happened, right, and we don't need your input or involvement in it at all. Thus, why should you be alive if you do a sort of a – if you distill it down the way they distill it down.
Yeah.
So something is going on. Why am I not involved? And the answer is because you're not needed or you're not wanted or there's nothing to do with you. Yeah. And to the ears of a narcissist, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
Yes?
Just think about a new song called The Ears of a Narcissist.
So I shall march over to your home, and now I shall insert myself into this, which I've had many neighbors that have done this. Many.
I bet.
And I'm always mostly confused. I'm irritated, but mostly kind of, why are we having this? I mean, I had a... I'll tell you a story.
Shrubs. Remember that one?
I've had every neighbor. They've all been horrible. True car. Every car has stories. Well, how do we put a price on those stories? True car. Find out what your car is worth before you sell it or before you trade it in. Just go to True Car, enter your plate number, your car's details will come popping right on up. Then answer a few questions, very easily done. Once you're finished, you get a true cash offer sent to you in minutes. You take to your local certified dealer and cash it in, or you can trade it in. So you bring your car in, you get your check, and you go home, do a little inspection, fine. Or you bring your car in, you trade it in for a new car, or you trade it in for a used car, and you drive your new ride home. So if you want cash, you get cash. You want a new car, you get a new car. When you're ready for a better way to trade in your car, check out True Car, True Cash Offer, not available in all areas. Yeah, I had the worst, right? I had this Israeli chick who lived next to me in my first house, and her son, he was this doughy puss. And he was like, I don't know, he's probably 20 or 21. And he would say stuff like, I mean, he was out of control. She was out of control. He was out of control. And he would literally say things like, what's the plan? Like, I was remodeling the house. I was working on the house. And he's like, again, it's like somehow I needed their consent.
Would you just walk over to your garage? And
he'd like come over and go like, what's going on with the house? You know, and I'd go, well, we're going to have the sandblaster here on Friday to sandblast the outside of the house. And he'd go, ooh, boy. And I'd go like, why? And he'd go, yeah, I got midterms coming up, and I'm going to be studying on Friday, and that's pretty loud, you know, the sandblasting. And I'd go like, well, they're just going to be here during the day, like working hours. They're not going into the night. Yeah, but I'm going to be home Friday studying. And I'd go, well, maybe you could go to the library or something. Yeah, I like to study at home, so... maybe you could reschedule the guy. It's like this guy was like a 19-year-old fat fuck who I'm sure is somewhere manning a glory hole somewhere right now. If it worked out, this guy was the biggest sack of shit pussy ever, and he was just like, maybe you could reschedule for Monday. And I was like, no, they're scheduled a month in advance. It's a sandblasting. They come up the truck. I'm not going to reschedule them. Well, I got to study. It's like, look, there's adults that are working. You're going to fucking junior college. Go to a fucking Starbucks.
Put headphones on.
Just sit in your room and close the door. It's not on. I'm not sandblasting your house. Like, oh boy. This guy was fucking nuts. And his mom was fucking nuts. And they're
you end up starting yelling at them to get off the property.
I had to tell them to fuck off eventually because I couldn't talk to them anymore because they were so narcissistic and insane.
I mean, you were raising the value of the neighborhood.
I cannot tell you how many neighbors I've had that are way over the line. Way over the line. Way.
Any in La Cunada?
Oh, no. Those are normal. Yeah. Those are fucking normal people.
I see.
You don't get those people. I mean, they're, oh, yeah, there's a neighbor who lived across the street. It was nutty.
That's
it was
right.
Nutty. But the dudes are straight. It's just the chicks are always going to be nutty because chicks get nuttier. As they get older, the male brain matures and sort of relaxes, and the female brain eats itself. They get nuttier. So if you have a single woman living across from you, you are fucked. If you get like a dude, you'll be okay. And La Cunada's got a bunch of dudes. Nathaniel, 39, Michigan.
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
I got to say, I agree with the last comment that you just made. I have a single woman across the street, and yep, she's bad shit crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I think there's something about having guys wanting to fuck you when you're in your 20s that kind of takes the edge off. But soon as that burden is lifted off you in your mid-50s, you start going nuts.
They're out there, you know, mowing the lawn in their yoga pants and then want everybody to look. But then, you know, the moment you walk by with taking the dog for a walk, you know, they kind of look a little bit funny.
All right, what's going on?
They get a little bit silly. Like, I don't know. Like you said, that their brains eat themselves. And I don't want to sound misogynistic here, but...
You do.
You know, well,
I sound like a scholar. But, all right, Nathaniel, here we go. What's going on?
All right. Well, you predicted the future.
Let's hear it.
Once again. And I know that you've done that plenty of times with your friend there, Dr. Drew, and whatnot. But back on, it must have been like March 28th, I was on the show. And I was talking about, you know, how I had a broken back. And,
oh, geez.
You know,
I remember this guy.
Broken arms and fell off the scaffolding. And you gave me the rigmarole and said, you know, kind of, you know, man up and stop being a pussy, which was kind of nice to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, so I got a job and all that stuff, but you know, you said in the phone call that the woman, the mother of the daughter would show up in May.
What is the story with your
the fuck this guy's talking about?
Well, this is a guy you said he's got a rap, got a story. This guy's got stories.
Boy, I wish they were entertaining.
But what was the deal with the baby mama? What's your story with her?
Well, she's not the baby mama. She's my wife. We've been married. We are still married. But she showed up on the Wednesday before Memorial Day.
Why did she leave? What's the story? What's the story? Why did she leave? Why did Adam say she was coming back?
Because the weather would be better here then.
Then where?
Then, well, in Michigan, it was horrible all winter. And then, of course, she'd be back in Michigan in May.
Are you tracking?
I have a hard time hearing you guys. I should put my headphones on.
All right. Anyway, Nathan. Godspeed. I'm sure, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. You know? So since then, I've gotten a job at a local commercial construction company.
Mm-hmm.
I've been provided with a company vehicle.
Ooh.
The day after she showed up, I filed for divorce.
Yeah.
And then I'm just kind of cleaning up this business here. So
what kind of commercial work are you doing?
Well, some of the work is maintenance in like food factories. So like the first day of the job that I had last week, which I just started on last Monday, was repairing a concrete wall where a forklift took out a corner of a chamfered wall in a refrigerated area in a Kellogg's waffle factory.
Mm.
So that was just kind of taking a diamond blade and, you know, knocking off a chunk of the wall. And then I drilled in and epoxied some number four bar, yeah, and then pinned it in the wall and then formed it up in a way where, you know, everything likes to slope because they don't like dust collection. So, like, no 90-degree angles horizontal. Everything's got to be sloped off.
Yeah. Drew doesn't even know how wide number four rebar is.
I don't.
So sad.
Well, it's 4/8 of an inch. I think that he could figure that part out, right?
I don't know.
Could have been 4 inches.
He doesn't know about the Islamic code or the prime integers or anything. See, Drew, you pass yourself off as some sort of academic, but you know nothing about rebar.
It's true, I don't.
You're ignorant.
No, you don't know anything about rebar, do you? Yeah.
So, once you realize it's every number's an eighth, then it's pretty easy.
Got it.
Yeah, they're pretty simple stuff.
Number six rebar, Drew.
6/8.
Okay. I have another name for
three
that.
Three-fourths, but...
Thanks, Gary.
That's the big stuff.
All right. Hey, Nathan. I like your job. What do they give you, a Silverado? What kind of work truck do you
get? No, it's actually... I really don't... I know you don't like Mopar stuff, and I'm not too keen on it either, but we got a whole lot of Dodge manufacturing stuff up here, and it is a Dodge, but it's really quite comfortable.
All right.
You don't like Dodge?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, Nathan, thanks. Good luck.
Godspeed.
You know what I always feel sorry for? I don't know why. I feel sorry for the kids of Nathan. But there's so many guys that way. But on the other hand, my kids should be rejoicing. They don't give a shit. But I just mean, like, you know the thing, like, your dad is your dad, and he's your world, and he's your king, and he's your president. He's the smartest man in the world, and he's the tallest man in the world, and he's the most everything in the world. And then you get those double-talking kind of weird dads, and you think, like, somebody looks at this person as the smartest, tallest, wisest man in the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel bad for those kids. All right, Drew, do you got any business there?
I don't.
All right. Let me tell you guys. And listen, Nathan, I'm busting your balls, but whatever you did, keep doing it. I'm glad you got a job. Work hard to keep it good and job. All that good stuff. Adam Kroll's Unprepared. Portland Helium Comedy Club, July 19th and 20th. And you can go to Chass. Go to adamkroll.com for all the live shows. Go to Chassy. For CHASSY for all the docs and the live stand-up special over there. What do you got, Drew?
Doctor.com. It's all there.
And check out Steve Austin. He's back and better than ever on Podcast One, The Steve Austin Show. So, until next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.
Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy. It's completely legal. And it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for. You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassy, Chassy, Chassy Channel. Number 501. It is the best. It is Pluto TV.